in ministry, probably for longer than I know. I have discerned it for weeks. So just remember that we love each other. Just remember that. And that the Lord, I feel more sure than ever that the Lord has placed me here to be your pastor in the last few weeks, you know, because I had gotten some extra opportunities. We have had opportunities that we don't want because I want to be your pastor. And there are ways that we have thrived in that. And there are ways that I have been bashful. How about that? Conservative and reserved. I'm about to begin to pastor you differently because the Lord is calling me to do that. And so I want you to keep an open heart with that. I want you to trust the Lord and his anointing on my life. I feel the anointing of God. And I said all week, I've said, God, you're going to have to stop the weeping. I can't preach with the weeping. You got to get this in line. So, Lord, help me. Help me. Give it a break at least for this hour. Some of you that I've been close to this week, I've been telling you, I can't stop with the crying. And I know you can't listen to it. So, Lord, help me. Just help me. And it is just the Spirit of God moving in my life that I believe that we are in a new season. And I need you. And I don't see a ton of true visitors. I know Wayne's visiting Anthony, but you ain't gonna mind this word one bit. I already know. So most of it, I can just speak to you just as the church. We are in a new season, and the Lord is about to ask more from you. And the Lord is about to ask you to allow more discipleship and intervention in your life. And I can't believe I'm telling you my intentions before. I thought I was going to get you softened up with the word. I'm just going to trust the Lord. I'm about to start meddling. Because God has called me to meddle. And where that leads and what happens on the other end of that, I'm just going to trust Jesus. So I'll tell you the title of this morning's sermon is Pretense or Power. I'm sick of pretense. I'm sick of it. The Lord is sick of it. Subtitle, No More Pretending. No more pretending. Nobody in the Pentecostal realm is meant to pretend. Nobody is meant to go in and act like they have surrender and act like they love the Lord. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you say you love Jesus and you don't obey him, you don't love Jesus. And we got to quit lying. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And when the Spirit of truth has come, he will lead. This is out of the Bible. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Something that tells me right away is that it's not necessarily natural or easy to walk in truth because we need the Spirit of God to guide us. If you refuse to be led, you cannot remain in truth. If I refuse to be led, I cannot remain in truth. And so as we get into this and we look at the idea of no more pretending, please embrace the spirit of this word and the Spirit of God that is leading us into a new thing. Here's what 2 Timothy says. And this was Paul writing to a church leader. And here's what he said in 2 Timothy chapter 3. That's the American Standard. I've got New King James. It'll be a little bit different. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Somebody go grab my boys while I'm reading that scripture. Unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. I actually don't have to look at any other event, any other passage, anything else to know that we are living in the last days. And we will know that it is a perilous time, not because of a circumstance, not because of a war, not because of a bad world leader, not because the economy is bad, and not because gas prices are high. That's not how we will consider perilous times. Perilous times are defined by the condition of man's heart. Because it is the most important thing on the earth. And the most important thing in the church is not the quality of our sound or even the branding of our programs. But church, it's the condition of our hearts. It's the purity of our hearts. It's the burning of our hearts for Him. And it's time to burn for the Lord. It's time to be consumed. If our God is a consuming fire, then you should not be walking around with smoke that chokes people out but doesn't change your heart. You should be burning for the Lord. And so he says in the last days, this is what people will look like. Let's skip on. Skip on, I believe, to verse 10. And then he goes on to say, you have carefully followed my doctrine, my manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, which persecutions I endured. And out of them all, the Lord delivered me. This tells me that power is supposed to look like a great contradiction, that there should not be any similarity between people who are walking in worldliness and people that are walking in godliness. It should be very obvious if you are burning for the Lord or if you are not. Fire is not something you can keep secret. Have you ever tried to keep a fire secret? You know what happens? You actually make it a little bit worse, right? Anybody ever accidentally started a fire and you start trying to put that fire out and all of a sudden everything starts getting a little bit bigger and you toss something on it and that thing catches and everything else catches? The devil can try to put my fire out. He can send me an ornery person and that person can catch fire too. The devil can try to mess with my life and snuff me out, and all that's going to happen is that the fire will grow and grow and grow, because the opposite of an unholy man is a holy man, and you are one or the other, and you have got to choose, because it's time to stop pretending and it's time to walk in the power of the Holy Ghost. And so he tells me that we're going to be able to even endure persecution. And then he says, all who desire to live godly lives in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Verse 13 is important. Evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. It will not get easier. So get full of the Spirit of God. Get surrendered. Get rooted and grounded in the truth. And I'm saying it to my own self. And I've had a whole bunch of come to Jesus meetings this week. And I've had a whole bunch of moments of just being on my face before the Lord this week and saying, if there is anything in me that would keep me from burning for you, then purge it from me, because I will lead you as a firebrand. I will lead you as someone who loves the Lord. But you've got to be able to turn around to your families and say the same thing. You've got to be able to turn around to those Wednesday night kids and say the same thing. You've got to be able to turn around to your workplace and your community and say the same thing and say, I've been in my prayer closet. I've felt the fire of the Holy Ghost. I understand the fear and the awe of God, and I want to lead you in it, and I want to run with you for it and after it. And let's press towards the mark and not be some of these people who are deceiving and being deceived. I got to watch my time because I have to get all the way through this. But you must continue in all the things that you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, that from childhood. And he was saying something very similar as to what I'm saying to you, by the way, because Paul was saying, please trust me. That is something that a pastor can say in a self-serving way. I understand that. That is something that cannot be said lightly. I don't take that lightly. I don't take this calling lightly. The way that I'm about to have conversations with some of you, I don't take it lightly. The Lord has burned it into my spirit. And he says, knowing from whom you've learned it, that from childhood you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation. I need all this scripture to preach the whole sermon. Through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And this is one of the first scriptures that we try to memorize with kids. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And verse 17, we need this. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I'm so sorry. I gotta blow my nose. I'm snotting. Sorry. This is going to just be a messy little sermon. I'm sorry. We're going to just keep this in the house. Here we go. And can I just go back to that where it says that they're broken down to lovers of themselves, that they will be unloving? Did you know that that's actually referring to familial love? And it says that men will be without familial love. It's the same that said, in the last days, the love of many will grow cold. In other words, they will be deconstructed and disconnected from their families. And I just bind that in the name of Jesus. I just bind that in the name of Jesus, and I pray that the hearts of sons will be returned to their fathers and fathers to their sons, and that we'll see more restoration stories like Anthony and Wayne's, because that is what's meant to happen, is that a love within a family is restored because your love for God is restored. And so that was an indicator. It's an indicator of someone becoming a reprobate to fail to love their family, and then it's also an indicator of revival for someone to return to their family. Fathers will return to their children, and the love will once again burn again. And I believe that that can happen in our families and in our homes. I don't have time to preach that or to break that down, but that's just kind of a little bit of some of the Greek in all of that. But here's what Romans 12 tells me how to do this. And this was written to a whole church body. The first one written to a church leader. Second one, a whole church body. Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to the Lord, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then verse 3, for I say through the grace given to me, everyone, and this is a challenge to us as we go into this sermon, everyone who is among you should not think of himself more highly than he ought, but think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Let's pray before we get into this preaching. Thank you, Jesus, that you're here among us, that your spirit is here among us, and that you are raising people up to their identity in you. Thank you, Lord, that you are raising us up to a place of true power, no more pretending, but being absolutely surrendered and consumed by your spirit. Make us, Lord, who you want us to be. Help us to burn for you, and help us to walk in the fullness that you have for us. The first thing that will happen after you receive power, and by the way, we know that we are going to receive power because Acts chapter 2 tells us that, right? It says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will be witnesses to me. And then we take this and we're like, the power is just for the discipleship. No, power is for absolute transformation. For me to be a witness unto the Lord, for me to be able to testify with my life, for my body to be a living sacrifice, as Romans said, for that to happen, I have to carry the spirit of the living God. I have to be carrying in my body, in my literal life, that resurrection power, that Pentecostal power, that it is very obvious I'm a witness to the Lord just in the way that I operate in this world, because we do not work as the world works, but as God does. And here's what has to happen through the effect of Pentecostal power. Are you ready? Power will take you out of a stronghold. Pretending will take you out of suspicion. Do you want out of the stronghold, or do you just want out of suspicion? Because there's a way for both. You pretend and people will get off your case. You pretend and people will hush. You pretend and people will stop texting you. But you will stay in the stronghold. I cannot let you stay in strongholds anymore. Just because you have done what is necessary to ease the suspicion of everyone else. God is giving us His Spirit so that we can walk in His Word. Not so that we can feel better in the stronghold. The Spirit of God will not comfort you in the stronghold. The spirit of this world will. You can have comfort in a stronghold, by the way. And the devil comes, the devil himself comes as an angel of light. And you can sit in that stronghold and you can say, me and Jesus are just fine. Because I don't feel any kind of way about this. You need the fear of God. You need the fear of God. Because the enemy is deceiving you. And the enemy is comforting you. And he is maybe removing the eyes of suspicion. But you are still within the stronghold. We need the power to come out. Pentecostal power will not abide in a stronghold. It will bust that thing wide open. If you go back to 2 Timothy 3, it says evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse. They will deceive and they will be deceived. But you have to continue in the things that you know. You have to continue in the Word. If you are thinking of a stronghold as a dungeon, you're wrong. A stronghold is a tailor-made dwelling for the elevated, overinflated, often inebriated sense of self-indulgence, self-importance, and self-interest. And we have got to break up with all of those things. If you want to come out of that, you've got to resist and reject every one of the... I need to say it again. I talk too fast. I see. That's fine. I'll say it again. A stronghold is a tailor-made dwelling, not a dungeon. For the elevated, overinflated, often inebriated, the devil will keep you out of a sober mind. And he will tell you that you are just fine because he wants to keep you in a stronghold. And I'm tired of playing about that nonsense. I don't want to be known as the meddling pastor, but I want us all to be known as Pentecostal power walking people. And so maybe I got to be the meddling pastor. I'll get to the end to make that more clear. And I'm not trying to condemn everybody, but I want to see us set free. I want to see us set free. Often inebriated sense of self-indulgence, self-importance, and self-interest. A stronghold will never grieve the self, and it will always give exactly what it wants. So you might not be sitting in what feels like a prison this morning, and you could still be in a prison. And that's why we have to have the Holy Spirit. And then we also have to have people in our lives that are full of the Holy Spirit. And if you are a person full of the Holy Spirit, you have to be in people's lives ready to walk in the anointing of the Father and willing to speak the truth as God opens the door for you to speak the truth. And I believe that as the harvest is white, that what laborers means is people full of the Holy Ghost, people who are willing. We've all been warm bodies. We've all been believers. We've all been like, I'll work the harvest. I'll work the, okay, it's time to do the work. It's time to work the harvest. And that means being able to walk in the fullness of the Spirit of God, being willing to tell the truth and being willing to surrender to the truth. And so as we get into this point, here's what will happen. A stronghold will provide cover for things that are against the Word. Remember, he said, remember the Holy Scriptures that you know. Remember what you've known from childhood. Remember all of that. The power of God applies the life of the Word to the lie of the devil. The Word of God, Hebrews 4 and 12 says, is living and active. Do you remember that passage? It says, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, quick to discern the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So where a stronghold is going to provide cover, the power of God will bring life to the Word, illumination. It's the opposite. If you always feel like you're having to hide, if you always feel like there's a part of you that you are keeping back, especially from the people of God, there's a good chance that you're hiding it in a stronghold. Rip it off. Rip it off. I like having that brother back there. That's right. Rip it off. Come out of that thing. Come into the light. A stronghold, secondly, because this is just my first point, I want to get through all of them, will provide counterfeit fellowship. Deceiving and being deceived. That's talking about within the church, by the way. That imposters. Imposters in the world? No. Imposters wouldn't come to the world. They don't have a reason to be fake. Imposters will come into the church. Why would you need to fake in the world? It's saying there will be people who can pretend, who can carry that pretense, and who can all feel really good about it because they are in a cycle of deceit. And what we have to know is the power of God that comes in and breaks fellowship with deceit. And sometimes that means breaking fellowship with people who call themselves Christians and they're not holy. And that doesn't mean I carry a superior. I have a lot of Christian friends who do not walk the same walk that I walk. I have a lot of Christian friends who would disagree with me on a lot of things that I don't even believe are gray areas. And I'm not refusing to speak to them. I'm not refusing to be a friend to them. But they are not in my spiritual circle. In fact, I don't even want to have spiritual conversations with them because it breeds confusion. It breeds compromise. It even breeds contempt for the Word of God. If you're talking to people who are saying stuff like, only God can judge me, judge not, yes, you be judged. Well, we're all just a bunch of wretched sinners. Get out of that circle. Get out of that circle. Get out of that deceit. Get with people who say, we're going to be on our face before the Lord, and we're going to seek him who may ascend the hill of the Lord, he who has clean hands and a pure heart. And we need to be talking to people who say, I will be holy. I will be righteous. I will plead the blood of Jesus over my life. I will plead the blood of Jesus. If you're riding in the car with somebody, if you're sitting on the front porch with somebody, if you're sitting in the house with somebody, and you can't talk about the blood because of what you are doing, then you need to get off their front porch, get out of their car, get out of their circle, and find some holy people who love the Lord with all their heart, soul, and mind, and come out of the stronghold and come into the light, into the power of God. A stronghold will give you a reason to criticize everyone and everything that comes against it. A stronghold takes the fun out of fundamentals. It says, oh goodness, that's pretty radical. That's pretty old school. Yeah, I know your mama's that way, but she's a little too much. I don't even just want to be like my Pentecostal granny, and I do. I'm wearing this Pentecostal hair in homage to her. This morning I said, Lord, help me to look different. Help me to come in there looking different. And I want to be like Mary Elizabeth Barger Young, who would have snapped her fingers and I would have done right. And she was radical. And let me tell you, if the Price is Right got too edgy, she'd turn that off. Okay? I don't just want to be like her. I want to be like John the Baptist. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like the apostles that didn't love their lives and didn't love this world so much that they gave it up. And we'll get to that in just a minute. But anybody that's been telling you, oh, those people of God are too radical, even if it's in your own mind, oh, that lifestyle is too radical, I'm telling you that that is a lie that is coming from the pits of hell, and it is keeping you in the stronghold, and it's time for you to come out of it, because that critical spirit will keep you from what he said in 2 Timothy. Continue what you've learned, knowing from whom you've learned then. Some of you that are grieving over prodigals know that your prodigals are telling lies about you. That's the first thing that the devil does to deceive a prodigal is tells lies about their family, tells lies about people that love them, tells lies about their mom and dad, and they come to you and they talk to you about their childhood. And it's a big joke on Facebook. I get it on TikTok, but it's ridiculous. And they come to you and they tell you how bad it was, how rough you were, how mean you were, how you didn't do that. I'm not talking about you, Rustin. Rustin's back there like, I'm not talking about that, but some of y'all are walking this out. There are some people in this room who are walking this out, who your children are saying, you were not a good parent to me. You did not, you, this was spiritual abuse, blah, 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 this and that. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. He is the father of lies, and we can pray truth over those children. We can pray the promise of 2 Timothy over those children. We can pray against that deconstruction, and they can return back to the fundamentals, and they can come out of that stronghold. And if you are in that this morning, then you need to come out. And guess what? I need to keep preaching it for every prodigal that might be sitting in these pews. I need to be messing with their lives. I need to be having lunch with them. I need to be saying what you're thinking is wrong, what you're believing is wrong, because how can they know unless they hear? And how can they hear unless we tell them? And we are to go and tell them, have you read these letters? Have you read these letters? We joke, oh, if Paul were here, we'd all be getting a letter. Where is the Paul of this generation? Where is the spirit of this generation that will come against the spirit of this world? If we had a few more people that would walk in the anointing that Paul carried, then we might have a few less kids out there living a lie. So I'm not just challenging myself with this, but you too. That this is what we're to walk in. The power that breaks the yoke. The anointing that breaks the yoke. The second ones will go faster. Okay? Secondly, power. That was the first point, and then there was three sub-points. I don't know if Kelly got it. You can look off her notes. Power is thriving under pressure. Pretense is theatrics on a platform. If you have power, the way for God to be glorified doesn't require a platform. If you have power, you embrace pressure. If you have power, you embrace persecution. If you have power, the devil can chase you all day long. And the devil uses a lot of theatrics, and you don't get shook. But if you only have pretense, you have to have a platform. Your presentation is shady and shaky, and it cannot stand. And I don't even just mean a platform like a stage. I mean a platform like you got to make a Facebook post. You got to have a hissy fit. You got to pick a fight with your spouse. You got to find a way to be loud and aggravating. You're walking in a pretense that very quickly is frustrated and never can exist as power, because it's not. Power will thrive when your marriage gets heated. Power will thrive when your finances fall apart. Power will make you a solid man of God, a solid woman of God, that people will look at you and say, this world may go to hell in a handbasket, but my father will serve the Lord. My mother will serve the Lord. The rest of this world may abandon the way of the cross, but my grandpa, my grandma, that man of God, that woman of God is going to follow after Jesus, and the devil can push, but she's going to push back harder. Life can fall apart. She'll come together even better than before, because God is within her. She will not fail. I'm telling you that power will put you in a place of thriving. He says, let me just go through these points fast, because I only have 6 minutes. I need to get to that last point, okay? Pentecostal power will decide beforehand and live in that decision. He said, follow my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose. Pretense has no sound doctrine, a wishy-washy set of principles, and a weak sense of purpose. But power says, this is what I will do. I will not break away from that decision. Power is stubborn. It's real stubborn. I don't know if you've ever got a hold of a hot wire. But power is stubborn. And it's going to do what it's going to do. No matter how you respond, no matter how everything else responds, when power is coursing through a thing, it will not be stopped. Power decides what it's going to do, and it lives in that decision. No turning back. No more going backward. No more being twisted this way and that. No more, I'm just going to stop off at this house. I'm just going to go by here. Just this one more thing. Just this. No, stop it. Walk in the power of God. Walk in the Pentecostal power that He has given you. You say, I don't talk in tongues yet. I don't care. You still have the Holy Ghost, right? You were still saved, weren't you? You were still convicted, weren't you? You still felt the Spirit of God in your life this morning. Stop leaving it up to holy rollers and decide that you are going to pick up that mantle and walk in holiness, and the other stuff will come. The fullness will come. The gifts will come. But you have got to come to a place where you say, I made a decision. I will live in this decision, and the devil will not hold me back. You make that decision and stay in it. Pentecostal power will exist. Exist not only in word, but in deed. Less talking, more walking. 1 Corinthians 4:19, he said, oh, here we go. I've been dreading getting to this. I should blow my nose again. Remember you love me. I'm moving the tissue from there to there, so Kira has my germs now. And whoever sits there, it's just allergies. I'm not lying. Some people say that and they're lying. I'm not lying. All right. 1 Corinthians 4, here's what Paul said. I will come to you shortly if the Lord wills, and I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod or in love and a spirit of gentleness? He was not giving them a choice. He was giving them an ultimatum. He said, I'm going to come to you with love and gentleness, and this is going to be easy. Okay? Figure it out with Jesus before I have to get in the middle of it. He said, and I'm not saying I'm going to whoop none of y'all. I'm quoting the Bible. I'm literally quoting Assemblies of God lady preacher threatened to spare the rod, spoil the child on her whole congregation. But he was saying, I'm about to bring correction. He was going to bring discipline. I'm about to call this thing out, and it's about to get really sticky. But he said, y'all got a few weeks till I come. Y'all want to do it the easy way? Y'all want to do it the hard way? How many times, I've joked about this before, have you been sitting in a service and you knew that that sermon was for you? And you were like, Lord, I'd like to enjoy this altar call, so I'm just going to repent right now. I'm going to repent right now. I'm just repenting. I'm going to go up there and celebrate that I've already repented. Let's just get this thing done, because I already know you're talking straight to me, Lord. I've been there many, many times. I have been there. But that's where we need to be. I genuinely pray that that's where we all are. I genuinely pray that this week that I get some phone calls from some of y'all. And you say, hey, I've been in alcoholism up until that sermon on Sunday. And I've been slipping it, and I thought you didn't know, and I want to come out of that stronghold, and I want to come out of that spirit, and I want to come into the fullness of the Spirit of God, and so I'm confessing it to you right now, and I'm telling you that I will no longer be drunk with wine, but instead I'm going to be full of the Holy Ghost, and I've gathered some men or women around me that are going to keep me accountable. Or maybe you're going to say, man, I've been horrible to my husband, I've been disrespectful to my husband, I've been this to my family, and I'm not looking to sit all of you down and say, here is a performance review. But I will tell you that the Lord has dropped some things in my spirit that have got to get purged from Maranatha Assembly of God Church, a holy rolling spirit-filled denomination, and I want it to go this morning. I believe the Lord wants it to go this morning, and I'm just telling you, we can have love and gentleness, or we can have a difficult conversation, and I pick love and gentleness. I don't know what you're going to pick. That's going to be on you. And that's the thing I've dreaded the most of this whole morning, and I dread it for the next few weeks. But expect some phone calls. Expect some visits. Expect some times of prayer together. Expect me to have to be a little bit more of an old school circuit preacher. I'm a granny now. I can do that. I'm serious. We all talk about the Pentecostal granny. Here I am. Thank you, Jasper. Every one of us that has to have a tough talk, I'm going to say, you can thank Jasper Thomas Holt for this. He's already doing ministry. Pentecostal power will not be popular, and it is not always pretty, but it is precious. And then finally, Rustin, you can go ahead and come up. Pentecostal power completes and equips. Pretending cripples and extinguishes. And that's why I care. All right? It's not to each his own. It's just not. It's just not. We're called to be thoroughly equipped. We're called to be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's really serious business. That doesn't mean that we have to necessarily nitpick, but it means that we have to carefully choose. And we need to come into covenant today with the Word of God and the wisdom of God and the power of the Holy Ghost. In Mark 11, I'm almost done, I'm not preaching tonight, so y'all can hang on a little tighter. I just want to read this parable. In Mark 11, Jesus was walking with his disciples, verse 12, and they came out of Bethany, and Jesus was hungry. And it's hard for me to read this too and not cry because I just had a dream about this. And seeing from afar, he saw a tree that had leaves. And he went to see, and I see this was just me in this dream seeing my life. I know I have a lot of leaves. And just so, all y'all moms, you want to catch me after church and be like, oh, honey, you have fruit. Don't tell me that. Let the Holy Spirit do its work. Leaves. He went to see if perhaps he would find something on it, and he came to it, and he found nothing but leaves, for it wasn't the season for figs. And in response, Jesus said, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And the disciples heard it. Man, that was tough. There's a little detail in there, right? It wasn't the season for figs. I know that you're sitting in your seat with a really good excuse for continuing to stay right where you're at. It's not good enough. Your excuse is not good enough. This is the moment. This is the time. They asked him later, Jesus, what was that about? He actually went on and did more ministry, and it was later when he said, what was that about? I'm sure that they felt really overwhelmed by that. And the next morning they passed by. They saw it was dried up from the roots. And Peter said, the tree you cursed has withered away. And Jesus said, have faith in God. I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking that, oh, he was telling them you can just speak to trees and they'll wither up. But I think that he was saying y'all need to speak to the things in your lives that are not fruitful. A mountain is not a tree. When Jesus spoke parables, they were super plain. But I think they were all feeling freaked out. Peter's like, man, I've got this in my life. Oh, I've got this. John is saying, I have this. Man, and what Jesus said was that whoever speaks to this mountain and believes, doesn't doubt in his heart, what he says shall come to pass. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Right now in this moment, you don't need to be more holy to get this power. Now, tomorrow to walk in the... No, not just tomorrow. When you leave this church, every moment from this, right? to walk in this power, you better be holy. You better be obedient. You better be righteous. You better be hungry. You better be making the right choices. But right now, we're all sitting here in some ways just needing the mercy of God. And Jesus said to them, because they needed mercy in this moment, because they were called to be fruitful in a season that they weren't prepared for. You don't have to be prepared for this. You don't have to be perfect for this. Jesus will raise you up to that level of righteousness. But you have to be hungry. You have to be desperate. You have to be surrendered. And you have to say, I will speak to the condition of my heart, the condition of my life, the condition of my rebellion, my doubt, whatever it is, and the Lord will do it. The Lord will complete the work. Whatever you have in your life that you're carrying that needs to be cast out, whatever stronghold has kept you still that needs to be broken, you don't need to do anything else this morning in this moment but believe and call on the name of the Lord, and He will deliver you and He will help you to walk in that. If you'd stand this morning, we need to answer that altar call. We also need to intercede for the prodigals. We need to do both of those things. If you just bow your head for just a moment, we're all about to answer that altar call and say, we're giving everything up to the Lord. We're presenting our whole lives to the Lord. And I'm telling you, just as an example to you, I will get on my face before the Lord here in just a moment. And I'll do the same as you. I'm about to surrender the same as you. But before we do that, let's make an acknowledgement also of our prodigals. Those of you in this room that would just lift a hand and say, I have a prodigal that I need to come out of confusion and back into the truth. I have a prodigal I need to be restored to the Father's love. There are the hands of every single row, almost every single person. So know that you're not alone. You can put your hands down. Know that you're not alone. After you get done, and one day, maybe Rustin will tell the story of Sunday night. I'm not telling it for him, but he'll tell you one day. Pray out loud for your children. Once we get done surrendering our lives to the Lord, we're going to do two things this morning. We're going to get on our, well, you don't have to literally get on your face, but we're going to get before the Lord and surrender to Him and say, I'm surrendering to the power. I will not pretend. I will walk in the fullness. Let's pray that prayer of surrender, and then let's begin to pray over our prodigals. I encourage you, some of you prayer warriors, walk around this whole room. Let's let this room be filled with the fullness of God, with the glory of God. But right now, just for the beginning of this altar call, can you just come forward, begin to respond to the Lord, begin to get into these altars and surrender those things to God. Surrender those things in your life that you've kept back. Surrender the addictions. Surrender the habits and hang-ups, the strongholds. Surrender the bitterness. Surrender the rebellion. Surrender the ways that you haven't seen Him for who He is. Surrender the ways you've been casual. Surrender the ways you've been quiet.